Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Ibrahim Fai, and I'm going to be your host today. Welcome to Hoop Center. Today, I have a very special guest for y'all. I'm sitting here with Chaminade head basketball coach, Ryan Moore. How are you doing today, coach?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. This is your first year at Chaminade, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Where were you before this coaching experience?
The last few years, I've been at Occidental College, and before that, the University of San Francisco. And previous to that, I was at good old Simi Valley High School.
Simi Valley High School. So you've been around the block, like, a lot. You basically coached high school and college, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
That. So what is the big difference between coaching high school students versus coaching college students? I know, like, their power and size and all that physical stuff makes a difference, but what else makes a big difference when you're coaching high school kids versus college kids?
College kids, their day is a little bit more broken up and can be a little bit more dedicated to basketball. They're not a six-hour block of their day where they have to be in class like high school kids. So they get to schedule their lifting, their individual workouts, their video work around their schedule. High school kids, you're basically taking them after school, and you know they've spent, especially at a school like Chaminade, where they spent a ton of energy and a ton of time on their academics. You can get them a little tired, and you've got to plan a little more accordingly and budget their time a little bit better. You may not be able to do all the things time-wise that you could get done at the collegiate level.
Yeah. Okay. So it's basically like in college, you put more responsibility on the players.
Absolutely.
Like they have more responsibility.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Does it give you, did you play high school basketball too?
I did. I did play high school basketball, actually, at Chaminade's big rival. So.
Oh, yeah? What school is that?
Crespi High School.
Crespi High School. They're in Encino, right?
They are.
Yeah. So since you did play as a high school player, does that give you a little bit of an edge in terms of, like, you know how the players think and everything? You know more what to do or something?
At this point, I'm so far removed from my high school days. Unfortunately, I'm getting older. I don't know that it necessarily translates. I think, even at the NBA level, you see guys like Lawrence Frank and George Karl.
Yeah.
Well, George Karl's a bad example, but Lawrence Frank and other guys that didn't necessarily play at the highest level that are doing things very successfully. And I think if you know people and you know the game and you can work with people and relate to young men, that, you know, anybody could coach high school basketball with the proper work ethic and, like I said, knowledge of the game and getting to know young men.
So I want to get into the team a little bit. Your overall record is 15-15, and you guys have won four games in a row. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And you are second in the league in rebounds and blocks per game. How much do you guys practice on that? Because that seems like a big, like, you guys are on point when it comes to rebounds and stuff.
I don't know that it's something we necessarily practice in terms of, hey, this drill is necessarily going to be a rebounding drill. We stress it in every drill we do. It doesn't hurt that McCormaker's 6'11". That definitely helps our rebounding advantage. We have some other size. Some of our bigger guys have gotten hurt, so he's had to step up his role a little bit more in that area. But, you know, our guys are aggressive. We preach that going after the basketball, whether it's a loose ball, a rebound, whatever it may be, is important to us.
Yeah. And Maker, he's a freshman, right?
He is absolutely a freshman.
Yeah, he's a freshman. He's 6'11", too. So, yeah. He averages 8.4 rebounds, and he's the leader in your league in terms of blocks per game with 2.5, and he's a freshman. So what makes him such a force in those categories?
You know, he's just a tireless worker, and, you know, when he first got to us, he wasn't as polished as he is now. He's I've never seen someone grow so much in a 25-26-game season as he has. He works his tail off every day. And he knows that on this team, what he can do to help us to win is rebound, block shots, even the ones he doesn't block, he's got to change. You know, I think his wingspan last time we measured, which was a while ago, 7'3", 7'4". So if he just gets his hands up and challenges a shot, sometimes that really helps us out.
Yeah. I've seen him play. So, yeah, I know. Also, you have another player, Adrian Dolan. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Aiden Dolan.
Okay. He's number one in the league in three-pointers, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you find ways to get him the ball?
You know, Aiden, it's really been a tale of three different parts of our season for Aiden. He made a bunch of shots in non-conference in tournament season and really did well playing off other guys. Josh Hauser, our point guard, finds ways to get him the ball. Sebastian Lopez, another one of our guards. Those guys are so good at getting in the paint and causing help, and then all the attention defenses have to pay, all the attention they have to pay to McCorr really opens up Aiden. In conference, he struggled. There are some big-time athletes and some big-time coaches in our conference, and I think Aiden, Josh getting hurt changed some things for us. But Aiden, Aiden stuck with it, stayed in the gym, kept getting up shots on his own, and I think he's reaping the rewards of that now in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's been looking really good recently. And Josh Hauser is currently fourth in the league in scoring, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so both of those guys help you in, like, a major way.
Yeah, when Josh got hurt, it definitely changed our whole season. You know, we lost 9 in a row without him.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't sure which direction our season was heading. We were pretty sure we would get into the playoffs off the strength of our league, but losing Josh for those games or getting him back for the playoffs was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, you guys have won 4 in a row, and to teams that have been on, like, their A game recently, like you beat Yorba Linda, who came in at 22-7. You beat Gabrielino, who is 25-4, and last Friday you beat an undefeated team. You beat Rancho Mirage, and have you been able to learn from your mistakes from earlier in the season? Like you said, you lost 9 in a row at one point. Have you been able to learn from those mistakes and go on this type of winning streak?
We just kept telling our kids that when we were healthy, we were a really good basketball team, and when Josh was healthy, McCorr was healthy, and Aiden, things were going for Aiden. We beat Taft. We won the championship in our own tournament. Getting into league, our league is, if you're going to tell me there's a tougher league in California, I'd probably call you a liar. between, I don't care what the computers say, I know we're up there in that ranking, between the coaching and the talent level of players and the school support throughout our conference, it's the toughest league. So we just kept telling our guys, when we're healthy, we're a good basketball team. Just wait till we get healthy. Keep learning. Keep applying lessons, keep competing, and let's move on and grow as the year goes on. And credit to them, they really hung together. 9 games in a row to lose is not fun for anybody. You know, as a coach, it's a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of, watching film, trying to figure out what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, if you need to scrap the whole thing and try something new. And our kids stuck with it, came in, watched film, got better, and no one's going to accuse us of peaking early, but I think we're peaking at the right time right now.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. Who would be one of your leaders that have encouraged these things that help you guys go on, like, a type of winning streak like this?
You know, it's really been a combination of things. Aiden Dolan's a 4-year senior for us, and his dad is actually an alum of our school and played. So he grew up around the program and has a lot of love and respect for not only the current situation of the program, but the tradition in the past, as well as the future of it. So to have Aiden on the roster and for him to, preach all those things to our guys every day helps. Josh coming in as a transfer has played at a high level, both in AAU and in high school in the past. And Josh just keeping our guys, hey, guys, I've been on playoff teams before. I've been in the finals of the Fab 48. Hang with it. And so those messages from those guys. And it's been different guys. Tino Mobley, a young man who barely gets off the bench for us, and is going to have an outstanding future. His attitude and practice every day is unbelievable. His energy in our locker room is unbelievable. So our guys, manage to find ways through each other to keep a positive frame of mind throughout the year.
Yeah. So going back to Friday's game, like I said, you were facing an undefeated team, and they were undefeated at 30-0, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So how were you able to get the guys' minds right to have them, not believing any type of hype about the other team being perfect?
I think they wanted to take them down. I didn't have to do a lot to get them motivated. Yeah. I think our guys are very proud of our program and very proud of wearing Chaminade on their chest. And to go in and end somebody's season in their house at 30-0, no disrespect to anybody, but that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
None of our coaches had to say a whole lot to get those guys fired up. They were laser focused in our days leading up in prep. They were laser focused in the locker room before the game, and they dialed in, and they did a great, great job out there on the floor.
Yeah, it was an away game, too, so the crowd must have been hostile.
There was about 2,200 people in there. I think about 20 of them were rooting for us.
Oh, yeah. It's tough. So Dolan, he hit 5 3-pointers in the first quarter by itself, right?
Yes.
So He accounted for 15 of the team's 20 points in the first quarter. So was the game plan to just try to get him the ball and just so he could, like, shoot it?
We don't really have a game plan on any given day of the ball has to go here, has to go there. Yeah. We try to react to what they're doing. Obviously, we scout and we have an idea of what they think we think the other team is going to do. I was shocked that Aiden was even open for five shots, you know, let alone making all five in the first quarter, because obviously the word on him is he is a shooter and he does it very well. You know, they came out in a gimmick zone and they didn't choose to guard Aiden early. They definitely chose to guard him later in the game.
They guarded him.
The guys did a great job of taking what they came, well, you know, taking what the defense gave us. And then when they took Aiden away later, it was a big compliment to our team and to our group that Aiden didn't force it and try to overplay the hot hand, and he was willing to defer and throw the ball to the open guys, and you know that he played really unselfishly down the stretch.
He did, yeah. He was open earlier in the first quarter. Yeah, it was kind of shocking that they didn't try to guard him.
I think he was shocked he was that open. He hasn't been that wide open in a long time.
So they did, however, trying to keep it close through the first half, with the score being 33-28 at halftime?
I believe so.
Yeah. And what was your message to the team at halftime to try to encourage to keep the lead up and not let it go?
We just talked to our guys that they'd been in these situations all year. Even when we had major injuries and guys go down, you know, we went to the wire with Alemany at their place. The second round of league with Crespi, we were down three, I think, with 3 minutes to play with, you know, a depleted roster. And, you know, told our guys, hey, you've been here before. They haven't been here before. They aren't ready for a team like us, and they haven't seen a team like us, and you know they've never had to play from behind.
Yeah.
And so just keep punching away, just keep punching away. We just kept saying in the locker room, they don't want a 12-round fight. Yeah. They don't want to go the distance. They're used to knocking teams out early. So, you know, our guys did a good job just pushing.
Yeah. So in the second half, though, you guys went up by as much as 15. And but Rancho Mirage, they kept on trying to dig themselves out of the hole. And what do you think allowed them to come back and make it a game again?
Well, I mean, they were 30-0. They're not, you know, I don't care who you're playing. You're 30-0. You're not a bad basketball team by any stretch of the imagination. And they were at home, and they started hitting a couple shots, and the crowd got loud, and you couldn't hear yourself thinking there. And, you know, McCore missed a couple of free throws, and they went to the hack of McCore at one point, and, you know, he eventually started knocking some down. But, you know, they were a good team. We knew they were going to make shots at some point. I'm just glad we had a little bit of a cushion at that point when they went on their run. But, you know, they're a good team. They're a very good – I'd be shocked if they didn't get the at-large bid to the state playoffs here next week. So,
yeah. And then with less than a minute left, they hit two free throws, and they came back within one. Did you have to, like, calm yourself down in order to not let it, like, slip away?
Well, there's no pressure on me. I didn't have to take a shot. You know, I knew, and I don't mean to say that to put pressure on our kids. Our kids do a great job. They've been in those situations all year. You know, a packed house wasn't going to phase them. You know, at Crespi, at our place, at you know, Harvard, Westlake, Loyola, Alemany, those our guys have played in front of huge crowds all year. And their athletic director was the first time all year they'd had to pull out both sides of their bleachers in their gym. So, we called timeout. We talked about what we wanted to get and where we wanted to get the ball. And, you know, our guys went out and reacted. And you know, we preached to our guys all year, just take what the defense gives you. Don't force it. React. If you cause help, find the open man, and let's play from there. And they did a very, very good job of that down the stretch.
How did you get them to stay calm? Like, you said they've been used to the situation, but did you try to, like, tell them? You didn't have to tell them anything?
I just told them the huddle, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
I said, we're going to come down here, we're going to get a bucket, and we're going to get a stop, and we're going home. And it's going to be a heck of a bus ride home. You know, that bus ride home from Rancho Mirage wouldn't be too fun with the L with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't even have to tell them. I could see in their eyes when it was going on. I mean, we had a young man, Sebastian Lopez, tear his MCL during the game. We just found out today.
Oh, yeah.
He tore his MCL. But he looked me in the eye. He said there was no way he was coming out of that game. You know, and he iced it up and stuck out the last minute and a half out there on the floor, but did a great, great job for us. And, you know, those kids just really wanted to win for themselves mainly and to prove to other people that we are the basketball team we thought we were in late December.
Yeah, that's great confidence. And you guys knew you were going to win too.
You know, I don't know if we knew we were going to win, but we didn't really have, you know, there's no other way you could really think. You know, that Rancho Mirage, you know, like I said, being 30-0, not take anything away from them, but we thought our schedule had prepared us well for that moment. And, you know, our kids are confident. You make a couple shots early, that helps too.
Yeah. You guys, you have some good free throw shooters. So how pivotal were they in sealing the victory for you guys?
Absolutely. We talked to our guys down the stretch of the practices down the stretch of the season that we're going to have to make free throws. Playoffs, every possession matters, every bucket matters, every shot matters. And it's probably magnified a little bit more in the playoffs. So we worked on it. We had a practice a couple weeks ago where we couldn't make our free throws, and we ran a little bit more than our guys would have liked. And yeah. I think ever since then they've dialed in a little bit more. They've spent some time working on it. And at the end of the day, our guys are super competitive kids, and they know the situation with a minute left, two free throws that they've got to get, that they got to make them to get the W. They know that, and they want to win more than any group I've been around. So
yeah. They're not afraid of the big moment because they hit four in a row at the end of the game.
Absolutely. I may be wrong. I may be jinxing us for this weekend, but I don't think our guys are afraid of the moment by any means.
Yeah. Where do you think the team will be at the end of this playoff run?
You know, we got the championship game Friday, within the state playoffs after that. We keep telling them it's up to the guys. It's about players at this point. We're going to give them the scouting report. We're going to give them the things we've worked on that we think apply to this game. But it's really about players at this point, guys going out and making plays. And that's, you know, where we'll be. It's up to them to write the story. And I'm just really proud of these guys with how they've stuck with it. They kept writing the story. They didn't give up and say, hey, we're losing a couple in a row. This one's over. Let's move on to something else. Let's worry about next year. They stuck with it. So where they'll be, I don't know, but I know we got a high ceiling and a great, great chance the way we're playing right now.
Yeah, you guys are looking real good. What will you remember about this team after the season is over?
You know, I don't even want to think about after the season is over right now. We got a couple more weeks. They're a fun group to be around. They're a challenging group to be around. It's you know, they jobs like Chaminade don't come open too often. And so when I found out about it, I left at it. But obviously there were kids returning in the program that had played for another coach, and there was loyalty there, and there was a way of doing things. You know, change is hard on everybody. So I think, you know, what I will take away from this is you know, a bunch of young men that rose to meet the challenge, not only of their senior year or of high school basketball, but of, you know, adapting to change, doing things a different way, no better, no worse, you know, no commentary there, just different, just a different approach to basketball. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun to watch them grow throughout the year.
Yeah. With McCormaker coming back for his sophomore campaign next year and with the addition of new guys, how much better do you think the team next year could be, as good as this team was this year, how good do you think the team next year could be?
You know, each group writes their own individual story, and we got a long way to go before we start getting into next year. And, you know, hopefully we're playing for a few more weeks here. McCore has a bright future. There's not a school in the country that's not recruiting him right now.
Yeah.
Where he'll be 2, 3, 4 years from now in terms of his game, I'm not sure. I know a lot of high-profile guys come around and say a lot of nice things about him, and he knows, and we talk to him all the time, that the biggest curse word someone could say to him in 3 years is that he's got potential. You know, it's our job to help him reach his potential. So he's a great young man, and guys want to play with him. We're seeing that, you know, with the people that call the school and are interested in coming to Chaminade. And, you know, it's our job to find the right kind of kids to put around him. Chaminade is a tough, tough, challenging school academically. You're not going to – if you think you're going to come to Chaminade and just play basketball, you're thinking about the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So it's our job to put the right pieces around McCore. But, you know, hopefully we can be playing deep into the playoffs every year, and we can get up into that open division in a year or two here, you know, on the strength of McCore and the pieces we're able to put around him. Absolutely.
Yeah, what position do you think would suit him best if he were to go to play in college?
You know, it all depends. He does have some guard skill set. He can handle it more than we, you know, he's done what's best for the team this year and play down low, but he can handle it. We see that in practice. He can jump out of the gym and transition, you know, which we haven't seen a lot this year because of the way we've been playing.
Yeah.
He can get out and defend multiple positions. I think he can defend, by the time he gets to college, he can defend 2 through 5 if he puts on weight, probably 2, 3, 4 if he doesn't put on a whole ton of weight. You know, but his skill set is, I mean, he can shoot it, you know, out to 15 feet right now. He can handle it once or twice. You know, he's got things to improve on, but for a 15-year-old young man, that's the other thing people don't remember. There's not a lot of 15-year-old high-profile freshmen anymore. Freshman, he just turned 15 right after the season started, so You know, he's young. He's got a lot of time ahead of him.
Yeah, he does. So do you think maybe Chaminade High School could go undefeated next year?
We're not. In our league, I think you're crazy if you think like that. You know, I don't. We're not anywhere near. I don't think you go from 15-15, you know, this year to talking about undefeated next year. We just talked to our guys about getting involved with the process, falling in love with the process, getting in the gym every day in the off season and getting better. And, you know, hopefully we put a schedule together next year that challenges them. The Mission League is always going to challenge them. I don't remember the last time someone went undefeated through the Mission League, but I mean, Alamany, I think it's, I could be wrong, but something like 22-2 in the league the last 2 years, and they're about as good as they get in the state right now. So, you know, talking about an undefeated season in our league is quite a stretch.
Yes. Yeah. And tell me a little bit more about your next game.
We play Diamond Ranch from Pomona. They'll be the first team we've played all year. They got a 7-footer as well. That'll match up with McCoy. He's a senior. He's a little stronger, a little slower. You know, but we hope McCoy's athletic ability can – you know, we can force a little tempo there. They've got some very good guards. Eric Cooper is their coach. He's done a phenomenal job coach at Laverne Lutheran when Grant Jarrett was there. At Occidental College, I recruited a young man that played for him, Jay Miller, that led the conference in scoring for Occidental this year. So I'm familiar with Coach Cooper and the great job he does. They're, you know, they're highly seeded. We weren't, you know, we're the underdogs. We've got nothing to lose at this point. You know, I think everybody kind of expects them to come out and win by 15, 20. And you know, I think our guys are competitive, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You also coached at Oaks Christian, didn't you?
I did. Previous to Simi Valley High School.
Yeah, to Simi Valley. Could you talk a little bit about that?
I was young. I was 22, 23 years old, I think, got hired as a head coach. Thought I knew everything and quickly learned out I didn't. But we had some very talented players there. Mike Hornbuckle, who went on to play at Pepperdine, and a couple other young men that did some very good things for us. Went to a Final Four one time with that group. You know, Oaks Christian, it's a different basketball world over there, and I think they've seen over the years that, you know, things are what they are. But, you know, being at Chaminade now is, you know, applying those lessons, you know, is truly a benefit and a blessing, which I didn't really realize at the time. But getting to be a head coach at such a young age, it definitely prepped me for, you know, the rigors and the challenges of Chaminade and the Mission League.
Yeah. Is it different coaching there because it's like a private school or something?
It's just there, you know, it's a little bit different administrative style at Chaminade. People care about you. They care about winning. They care about the kids. They care about the program. They've genuinely got your best interest in mind. And not to say that doesn't go on at places, but being welcomed with open arms at Chaminade by our administration and by our faculty and our players, you know, it's Chaminade is a much more supportive environment than anywhere I've ever been.
Okay. So it's basically like – explain your overall experience this year.
You know, just trying to get our guys to buy into our philosophy and our style of play. Getting to know young men, getting to know the culture of Chaminade, and moving this program back to a championship level that it once was.
Okay. Well, that's it for our show. Thank you for joining us today. Everybody, your Twitter account is Ryan J. Moore 4, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So everybody, make sure you go follow Coach Moore on Twitter, Ryan J. Moore 4, and I'm your host, Ibrahim Fai, and I will see you later. Peace.
That was Ibrahim Fai for Hoop Center on KPCRadio.com.